Looking at the forecast for this morning, last night, I was disappointed to see that it would still be raining. The last few weeks, if not longer, have been a reminder of the threatening power of water. Flooding, once something that happened occasionally in the UK, and instead was the subject of news reports from countries with rainy seasons, seems to be becoming a regular feature of the autumn and winter. Before Christmas, our thoughts and prayers were with those around Carlisle and Yorkshire. And while we've not forgotten them, we're aware of those closer to us who are now picking up the pieces of more local floodwaters and possibly preparing themselves for further misery. This week, one of my colleagues had been sharing news of churches local to him in Perth who were struggling with floodwaters, to only that same evening find himself standing with members of his congregation in knee-deep water in the basement of their building, frantically trying to clear it before it hit electrical cables. We may be used to water in its tamest forms, as we bathe and wash within it or swim within it. However, away from the receptacles used to contain the force and power of water, there's a reminder of the power of water. Untamed water has immense life-threatening or life-creating power. The Reverend Dr. Susanna Metz says of water, "Our hearts ache for the touch of water on our dry skin when we consider the desert." But then we imagine other movies, The Perfect Storm or Moby Dick. We remember the desperation and horror of those caught in real-life tsunamis. Plenty of water there, more than plenty, too much. Instead of being life-giving, the water brings death. The sea, the blue, green and tranquil sea that painters love to capture on a beautiful summer's day, becomes an enormous force bigger than life, dangerous, frightening. It becomes black with fury, tossing ships like toys, overwhelming miles of landscape and claiming to its black depths lives, villages and a future's hope. Water, life and death, hope and despair. In a way, we have absolutely no control over water. Some pray for rain, others pray for rain to stop. Water, like the air we breathe, is completely essential. And yet it brings death as well as life. Perhaps it's those properties of water that make it such a perfect symbol of the grace of baptism. It's the waters of baptism that we're invited to wade within this morning. But in the process of walking to the river, we will encounter memories of the creation story in Genesis, as both our readings touch upon the power of water. Part of a longer poem, our verses from Isaiah speak from a time when the Babylonian exile was about to end. They speak of the hope of the future that was to be secured in God, and a time when the scattered exiles would be brought back together and restored as a political power. Speaking of God as the saviour of the nation, these verses recall some of the imagery of the creation story. They recall the ancient knowledge of the power of water and the threat that it was considered as being by ancient people. The people of every age and of different communities have had different ways of understanding the nature of the planet on which we live. With the views we're offered from space by satellites and the space station, we have it confirmed for us that the world is almost spherical. The prophet Isaiah and the people of Israel had a different image of the world, and one that perhaps reminded them more readily of the overwhelming power of water and the chaos it could cause. Water separated the dome of the sky from the heavens. Water separated the land around it. Earth was built upon pillars pushing up out of the water. And under the earth was Sheol, or the place of separation from God. The dome of the sky was punctured with windows, through which the light of heaven shone as starlight, but also through which the water could seep. It's when storms and flooding happen that we are taken back to that ancient knowledge of the power of water and the chaos it can cause. No matter the defences we build or the belief we have in our ability to harness the power of water as a source for our own power, we're reminded that overwhelming waters cannot be controlled. Instead, we trust in the grace of God and the creative spirit to lead us through to the possibility of something new and different. We'll come back to the chaotic power of water in a while, but as we look to the gospel reading, notice how the writer of Luke also draws on the knowledge of the story of creation in the scene he portrays as the baptism of Jesus. As Jesus is baptized with others, a voice is heard calling from heaven, and in claiming Jesus as son, the voice also speaks of being pleased. The use of the voice of God should remind us of the voice of God naming the earth, sky, sea, sun, moon, stars, plants, and animals, and then with each new moment, declaring it good. But more than the voice recalls the days of creation, for the Spirit descends upon the earth in the form of a dove. That should remind us of the presence of the Spirit in creation, sweeping across the chaos of water as each change in pattern took place. But there's another Genesis story, another beginning story, to be recalled within the presence of the dove. For it's a dove that brought the news for Noah and his family that new shores had been found after days of flooding. Out of the waters of chaos, the potential of a new and promised life with God is offered. The story of Jesus' baptism is found in every gospel, and it ensures that we know it's a significant moment at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Here in Luke, we find it as the wrapping around the story of John the Baptist being placed in prison by Herod. In the season of the Epiphany, it's another enlightening moment of who Jesus is and the experience of God through him that we are to find. So familiar are we with the stories that we don't recognize the controversial or surprising qualities of the moment of baptism. The story draws us to the misunderstanding of who John the Baptist is. Some already had seen him as the Messiah, but he speaks forcibly of someone other than him who will baptize with fire and unsettle the status quo. But perhaps we should also know that it's considered controversial that someone who is without sin, someone who belongs to God, should seek baptism from John. In the moment of Jesus' baptism, the humility of Jesus' presence is revealed. In the moment of Jesus' baptism, the humility of God, who wants to be amongst his people to show his love, is demonstrated. When we are baptized, we participate and recall Jesus' baptism, and in doing so, wrap the story of creation and the biblical significance of the power of water into the lives we lead. Of course, many of us were baptized as infants or young children, and we may not recall those moments. Each time we baptize another child, we are invited to remember Jesus' baptism and our own baptisms. It's not a moment to remember the small sprinkle of water that's thrown across our foreheads, but instead an invitation to step back into the chaotic force of the water of creation so that God might call us back out to live as people who have been transformed for a life that allows God's presence to reach beyond us as individuals. In a piece on the gospel for today, Caroline Lewis, a Lutheran professor, says, "Baptism is boundary crossing. Baptism is risk. Baptism is God's presence when we may not want God so close. If we're honest, the heavens opening can be good news and not such good news, depending on how close you want to be to God, what you want God to see, and who you want God to think you are. Walking through the waters of baptism as visual recollection for adults is not meant to be about a quick dip in a stream, but instead a trail through strong tides that we struggle to break free from. Called and named by God, we should be prepared to step out to a new way of living. That's not just apologetic for the things that have gone wrong in recent days. Instead, we are to live as those who really believe they've reached a promised shore and have a story of faith to share. A story that allows others to meet the grace of God in the respect we have for humanity and the care we offer for creation. This morning, if we were members of an Eastern Orthodox church or another church with a liturgical tradition, there would be some lush branches of creation ready to be dipped in the baptismal waters and then showered across the congregation so that as a congregation we could stand again on the banks of the Jordan and step out with Christ into the waters that lead us from the past, where as a community we've not valued others or spoken of our care or not led lives that demonstrated the word said. As the water was shed, we would catch light of the hope of God and the promise he sees of good within creation, that the divine presence may challenge the status quo and bring the possibility of the kingdom of heaven nearer to all people. There is a part of me, partly naughtiness, but also because of the powerful imagery, that we'd love to climb down out of the pulpit, grab the flowers, dip them in the font, and then walk up the aisle and shower you all with water. But I won't. Instead, the baptismal font is below. And should you wish to, during the next hymn or at the end of the service, the invitation is open and open to all to remind yourself of your baptism. Of course, some of you may have done that this morning because as proper Reformed people, you will be remembering that there is a Reformation promise that we remind ourselves of our baptisms every time we wash our faces. But if you haven't, the font is there. The next hymn's a good one. It's time to move. And as you do so, ripple your fingers in the water. Scatter the water on your forehead or your hands. And in the coolness of touch, sense God's call to live lives where the divine presence within us has the potential to challenge the world around. Maybe you might say to yourself, I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. But whenever you feel the touch of water, may you leave those chaotic waters in the hope of reaching the other shore, prepared to offer the light of God in the lives you lead in this community and in the world. Amen.